Indecent assault and sexual harassment claims against TV gardener Don Burke, claims he denies, have highlighted again the responsibilities of big organisations to meet legal requirements to protect staff. The accounts about Don Burke, made public by three women who'd worked with him, have been revealed in a joint ABC Fairfax investigation, and they echo the avalanche of allegations against prominent men in the United States, including the film producer Harvey Weinstein. Don Burke says he's the victim of a social media frenzy around the Weinstein allegations and a witch hunt by disgruntled former employees. But for those airing their stories publicly, a big question is why such behaviours in the workplace are allowed to go unsanctioned for so long. Kate Jenkins is the Sex Discrimination Commissioner. She says companies must do more research to ensure they know what's going on in their midst. She spoke to me from Melbourne. Kate Jenkins, thank you for joining the world today. Can we start with some numbers? How many formal complaints of sexual harassment in the workplace do you receive at the Human Rights Commission?
So it varies each year, but in the last year we've had an increase of complaints by about 13%. It's still, you know, in the couple of hundreds, and it's not really reflective of what we know is the workplace experience, but it shows there's an increased preparedness of people to complain to us.
And what do we know about what's going on in workplaces? You've surveyed workplaces, but a while ago now, what's the picture?
Our last workplace survey on sexual harassment was in 2012, and at that time it told us that one woman in four had been sexually harassed in the last 5 years, and in fact one in six men had also been harassed. But it also told us that only one in five of those people are prepared to make a complaint. So a lot of it is tolerated, ignored, put up with, but I think the avalanche of conversation now suggests that it is causing harm even though people aren't complaining.
What does the law actually require of those in power in Australian companies when it comes to sexual harassment in the workplace?
Sexual harassment is prohibited by law. It is unlawful and has been unlawful for a long time. But the laws really just require employers to take reasonable precautions to prevent it occurring. And in practice, I think many employers have thought it's sufficient to have a policy that prohibits sexual harassment, run some training, which is often online, and then have a complaints procedure. So just rely on the bravery of the victim to bring to their attention any sexual harassment that is occurring.
And I'm hearing in your tone there that you feel that that's not adequate?
That's right. Well, if we had no sexual harassment, I would think that would be adequate. But the research that we've done, not just in general workplaces, but more recently looking at university students in defence, in police, in medical environments, shows that sexual harassment is still a very common workplace experience. So it's not adequate because it hasn't prevented sexual harassment. And I think a certain degree of sexual harassment is almost tolerated and normalised now. And when women and men complain, the first question is it that serious? Can't you put up with it? Why are you complaining? What did you wear? So that suggests that actually workplaces haven't really changed the culture.
And so what are the barriers to reporting or to pursuing a sexual harassment claim? I mean, that's a cultural aspect you're describing there, but is there anything else that stands out?
When researched, people say the reason they don't report is because they're concerned that they won't be believed, that they're concerned they need to produce proof, and also that they're concerned that they don't actually want to harm the other person, they just want the harassment to stop. So the view is a complaint procedure is not a really effective way of just lifting the tone of the organisation generally.
And a lot of those things are true, aren't they? The fear of retribution, the fear of not being believed. I mean, those are real fears.
They are real fears. I completely agree. And I think that employers that say we don't have a problem because no one's complained are turning a blind eye to the actual experiences of their workplaces.
There are some other specific issues that come up repeatedly. For example, when a company reaches a settlement with somebody over an allegation, there's usually a confidentiality clause. Some people are raising concerns about confidentiality clauses. Do you have a view on them?
I have a view that the silence that has allowed sexual harassment to continue is part of the problem. Managers often say there is no problem here because they're not aware, because issues are dealt with so confidentially that they don't believe any complaints have happened.
There are some very specific actions there that it sounds like it would be possible for companies to act on, but it is still a very vexed area. What more could we do in practical terms to improve this situation?
Organisations need to realise that sexual harassment and sexism is creating a cost to business. It's impacting people's productivity, it's stopping people being able to work to their full potential, and it means that in practice, a lot of women are not getting opportunities to move through the ranks and become a senior leader to help the business. So the first thing is the idea that sexual harassment isn't causing harm to the individual or the business. There needs to be a recognition that actually it is undermining the business. Once that's recognised, I know that people are very adaptable to change. And if the leadership say, this is the standard we accept and we will take swift action if people step outside the standards, then people will change. I'm confident of that. I know the majority of people are well-intentioned and attend work to perform to their best. One of the most important things that employers can do is to actually not wait for complaints, but proactively do some research to understand what's going in their workplace without requiring people put their names to complaints, just to understand how prevalent sexual harassment is. We are conducting a survey at the start of next year across Australia on workplace sexual harassment, and that will also give more information for employers to understand just how big the problem is or how small.
Kate Jenkins, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Linda.
Kate Jenkins is the Sex Discrimination Commissioner.